When we were in Midland, Canada, for the feast back in 13, there was a lady who attended that site that makes bookmarks for the people. She had an acrostic where each letter of the word rejoice stood for different truths of the Bible. The first one for the letter R was remember the plan. So I thought it would, you know, make a good series of sermonettes, and we'll probably speak in the future on each one. Start with, I thought it'd be interesting to see what other groups taught of the plan of God. A general web search for God's plan for mankind brought up these thoughts from donbible.com. Adam and Eve were perfect and would have lived eternally had they not sinned. Through their sin, they had passed on their now flawed existence to all their progeny, all down through time. When God pronounced the sentence of death upon their first parents, he did not leave them without hope that at some time and in some manner the penalty would be lifted. A ray of hope is to be noted in the statement God made to the serpent pertaining to the coming seed that would bruise his head. Those who possess immortality live everlastingly. But everlasting life is not necessarily immortality. Had our first parents remained obedient to their Creator and been permitted to continue partaking in the life-giving trees of Eden, they would have lived forever, but they would not have been immortal. Christ's little flock, who will thus receive this exalted position in the kingdom, will be raised up in the highest plane of spiritual life, which is referred to in the Bible as the divine nature. They are to receive immortality. Humans do not by nature possess immortality, but as the scripture so clearly set forth, is bestowed upon the faithful followers of Jesus as a reward when they are brought forth in the first resurrection. The kingdom of God, as discussed in the Bible, consists of both rulers and subjects. The Bible reveals that the chief rulers in the kingdom of Jesus and his church, his faithful footstep followers, there will be on the divine plan of life, divine plane of life, invisible to human eyes. However, these spiritual rulers will be represented here on earth by perfect humans, raised from the dead in what the Bible describes as a better resurrection. In other words, they'll have a spiritual existence in the human avatar. That's the last sentence I kind of added there. It wasn't their words. And now from another source. This one is from angelfire.com. Let's start with the first question. What are we doing here? Well, long time ago, at the dawn of history, God had created, the creator of this world created man in his image to be friends with him and to love him and for God to shower us with his pure love. But we blew it, we disobeyed God, and mankind has continued to disobey God down through the ages until even today. Because we disobeyed God, we brought separation between God and us, causing sickness, pain, hurts, and death with every kind of wrongdoing. God has made a jail for all these things to be contained forever. It was never God's intention that we as people should ever be placed in this jail. If that was true, I'd want it to be like the Mayberry jail, where you could just reach through the bars and grab the keys and get out whenever you wanted. Nothing that we can do will bridge the separation between man and God. God, in his mercy, has provided an amnesty box, that is, that if we take the opportunity of it, our jail sentence will be lifted and we'll be free once again, just as God intended at the beginning of time. You may well ask, what is this amnesty box and what does it mean? God's amnesty box is his Son, Jesus Christ. If we take advantage of God's mercy through Jesus Christ, we will escape the jail term that is waiting for us for all eternity by accepting the fact that Jesus has already done the time for us and lived his life as a man who did no wrong, yet died as one who did. our wrongdoing is forgiven. This makes restitution to God and opens the only way for us to be friends with God again and escape eternal damnation.
And
I got one last one, raptureready.com. I'm going to get a drink first. There was 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus Christ, and we are now 2,000 years removed from the resurrection of Christ. After all the periods of man's history, sin and various judgments of mankind, including the seven-year tribulation and Armageddon, Jesus and his saints will return from heaven to usher in a thousand-year period of peace and will rule from Zion. This will be the 7,000 years of God and man, but this time will be totally different than previous because the earth has been cleansed of all sin, disease, depravity. Those who come out of the tribulation alive will be saved. Were saved will enter the millennium, and they will live long and good lives. It is now a time of rest. Satan will be bound into the abyss for the duration, so he will not be able to walk up and down the earth causing havoc in people's lives. People will still be mortal and will be able to marry and have children. Many of those children will reject Christ during that time, and some will be saved, as there will always be free will. At the end of the millennium, the devil, after he has been released for a short time from the abyss, will rise up and rebel once again. Will finally be thrown to the lake of fire, along with all the unsaved from all time who appear at the great white throne judgment. After that, God will make a new heaven and a new earth, wherein he will dwell with his people for all eternity. So that was the three that I pulled up. And the one thing you'll notice is that none of these mentioned the holy days or how to map out the plan of God. Amazingly, the only site that the search pulled up with the holy days and the truth about God's plan was UCG. It didn't pull up any other churches of God. And this is what our site had to say in an introduction of the booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. The biblical festivals and the holy days within them fall during three seasons of the year, the early spring harvest, the late spring harvest, and the late summer, early autumn harvest in the land of Israel. The themes these days portray are of God's spiritual harvest of mankind to eternal life spoken to by Jesus Christ. These observances serve as timeless reminders of how God's plan gives eternal life to mortal men. Our Creator will bring his plan to fruition in spite of man's choices and actions, which have consistently led to separation from God, suffering, and death. God's festivals reveal the unfolding of God's plan for the humanity and how he will establish his kingdom on earth. This is the good news or gospel Jesus preached. The Apostle Paul beautifully summed it up in essence to his letter to the Ephesians. He has made known to us his secret purpose in accordance with the plan which he determined beforehand in Christ to be put in effect when the time was ripe, namely, that the universe, everything in heaven and earth, may be brought into unity in Christ. In Christ, indeed, we have been given our share of the heritage. And as his decree in his design, whose purpose is everywhere at work. That's Ephesians 1:9-11, and that's the Revised English Bible. So God's holy day reveals his master plan and help us to comprehend the way he intends to become his people, the way he intends us to become his people. His plan is following his commandments, his holy days, his laws, and ultimately lead to unity and life eternal with God. If you'll turn to John 14:15, we'll see. We'll see what it says here. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That seems pretty simple and straightforward, but nobody on the website said anything about that, keeping his Sabbath, his commandments, any of his holy days. This is not just a feel-good you might hear in some churches. One of my co-workers at work, he feels that the church he attends is growing because of prayer and missionary work. I mean, all that's good. I have no problem with that, but he doesn't keep the Sabbath, doesn't do the holy days. You know, how about living the way God says to, with his Sabbath and his holy days? And man has also tried to add things that they think will make it better, but God has already got it perfect now. If you're not keeping the commandments and statutes, you are at risk of him saying, I never knew you. If you'll turn to Matthew 7, Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the wonder that awaits us at the conclusion of the plan of God. Daniel 7, verses 13, 14, and 18, if you'll turn there with me. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one in which shall not be destroyed. And down verse 18 it says, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So, as we can see, Hebrews 2:10 shows us that ultimately the plan of God is to bring many sons to glory through the suffering of Jesus Christ.